And the kids were so inspired watching the little films, you know, they were all
Oh.
pixelated, but still, you know, they got to watch the films.
Yo, what's up? It's your girl, Father Longlegs. You know me, Daddy T. Oh my God, I'm so excited for this episode. This is actually a very special edition. We recorded it just a few days ago because I wanted to get it out this week. I talked with the director of the East Los Angeles Film Festival, ELAF, which is where Get Loved is playing this Saturday. It's a 2-day festival, September 30th, October 1st. It's free. They do take donations. It is community run, but it is free. Anybody can show up. Please do come out and support all of the films. It's going to be such a good time. There's a whole community mental health resource fair. It's a partnership along with East Los Angeles College, and sponsored by the Vincent Price Museum and a bunch of other like local community sponsorships, including USC Department and then the Department of Mental Health. But my guess is Juan Escobedo. I actually was so fortunate to be able to get him on because he is pretty much single-handedly running this festival, and we'll get into it in the podcast. It's definitely a great listen. He's such an interesting filmmaker, creator, activist. I really love everything he has to say, and we have some fun chatting about indulgences. But yeah, just the more I get to know him, the cooler I realize this whole festival is, and how grateful and honored I am to be a part of it. You know, obviously, you know, want to be totally frank, like I am not a Latina. I did apply to this festival because I really feel our star, Vanessa Gonzalez, does such a great, phenomenal performance, and she is, you know, really the star of this movie, and I really wanted to show off her performance, you know. So I feel like this is going to be an awesome place to screen this film. So thank you to everyone who has supported the film, and thank you for letting me share it with the community. You know, I want to be very cognizant of that. I am taking up space in a East Los Angeles Film Festival that is predominantly for the Latinx community. I do feel, for me, intentionally, I wanted to share this film, and it is addressing themes about mental health and wellness and all that. But I also want to acknowledge that. So thank you. Very grateful for there being a spot for me. It's not about me. But that being said, I really hope anyone who's out in LA can come out to see the film. There's also going to be a bunch of different blocks all throughout the weekend that you can come watch. It's all free. The museum is open. There's food. There's like activities for families. You can bring your kids. There's like face painting, all that stuff, as well as a screening on Friday night, this Friday night, September 30th, of Blood In, Blood Out. And it's just gonna be cool. But we talk about it in the pod, so I won't get too much into the promotional element of it. But if you want to get tickets, go to telasofa.org, TelaSofa.org, or you can go to the Get Loved Film site. I link it in the bio at Get Loved Film, which is the name of my short film. Yeah, just so thankful for everyone who supported it up until now. It's going to be the first time I get to screen it in a live audience in Los Angeles, nonetheless. So I can't wait. Yeah, come say hi if you're coming. Let me know. Okay, on to a couple more announcements, comedy shows. I will be performing at the Glendale Tap on October 4th. I believe it's a free show. You can always find my updated shows at teresaleecomedy.com/shows. You know, I wake up insanely early every day for no reason at all, except for the fact that I'm probably a witch or a robot. Who knows? So I'm constantly updating things like that when nobody else is awake. So it is always up to date. Also, I'm finally excited to announce, I've hinted at this before, but I am putting on a Halloween 90s show at this new venue called the Public Displays of Altadena, run by Bud Diaz, who we'll probably have on as a guest at some point. But it is, I'm so excited because you know I love Halloween. It's around my birthday, and I love Halloween because I am a witch, like I said, or a bot. This is a show called Are You Afraid of the 90s? It's a comedy show, seance, where we basically are, it's a themed 90s show, resurrecting pop culture icons from the 90s. I will be doing drag as the mask. I'm also going to be doing a couple more surprises, walking through music videos. I have so many great comics on. A lot of them have been guests on this show. There's Eli Olsberg, Danielle Perez, Madison Shepard, Bridie Elliott, so many more. You can see all the details and get tickets at PDA underscore space. That's the letter PDA underscore space on Instagram, or, you know, go to my website. Like I said, October 21st, Friday, 8 p.m. doors open, $10 in advance. I believe $15 at the door, but we will give you a discount or free drink if you show up in costume. Costumes highly encouraged. Even if you're young, I will forgive you and you weren't around for the 90s. You know, dress up as someone that, I hate to say it, but that is an oldie, you know, like a Britney, whatever. But if you are a millennial like me, this is going to be so much fun because this is basically the era we grew up in. Paying homage to all of our favorite cultural icons. Getting spooky because it is Halloween, so we're going to be having fun doing some bits. But the spookiest part of the 90s, you know, it's not just going to be about racism, although that part was very spooky. We're having some fun. And then afterwards, a little dance party. And it's a cool little venue, very experimental, in Altadena, like right on the edge of Pasadena. Easy to get to. There's parking. I can't say anymore, like how, I mean, if Halloween spooky me, it doesn't get you to want to come. I don't know, man. Like, then maybe you're not fun. But I will be in costume and it's going to be, and you can be my hot boyfriend. I'm going to make him come. So that's October 21st at 8 p.m. Come out. Tickets are already on sale and they're probably going to sell out because it is a small space. So please, please, please get your tickets in advance and make sure you can come. It's going to be fun. Let me know if you got tickets. That's it for the announcements. I'm so excited to introduce this episode. I hope I see some of you out this Saturday at the East Los Angeles Film Festival. This is Juan Escobedo. Enjoy. You can tell her. You can tell her. It's your girl, Father Longlegs. You know me, Daddy T. This is You Can Tell Me Anything, the podcast where I get comedians and artists I've expanded that category, filmmakers, creators, to tell me something they want to get off their chest. I am so excited for my special guest today. I actually got him really, like, I was squeezed in because I was like, oh my God, we have to do this. He is the director of the East Los Angeles Film Festival. Very busy because it's happening next week on the 30th, yeah. November 30th and October 1st. Give it up for Juan Escobedo. What's up?
Thank you.
I'm so excited to, I mean, this is our first time actually meeting, but I know we've emailed and you're basically putting on this festival and I can tell how much work has gone into it. Yeah, I want to kind of talk to you because I'm so curious about your work and your experience, but also definitely want to highlight the festival. I know a big part of it is because it's for and from the community, and it's also going to be a mental health day, which is awesome because I love to sort of highlight that on the pod. Tell me a little bit about the mental health angle too, because I'm curious. That's something when I applied, I was like, oh, it's a film festival, cool. But I love this angle, so I'm curious. Yeah. More about that.
Yeah, so I'll give you a little bit of a background. The film festival started in 2008. Okay. And it started as part of a program. Telesofa was part of it, what was a program, part of Bienvenidos Children's Services out in East LA. They had several offices throughout town and they focused on healing families and youth. And they brought me in to do film, art, photography with the students, but with the angle of prevention, HIV prevention, STDs, gang prevention, teen pregnancy prevention. So I thought, okay, I was very familiar with the HIV STDs because I did a lot of work in Pomona with sex workers, with injection drug users and day laborers. So in Pomona, I was trained on HIV prevention. And somehow they knew I was in East LA, they knew I was a filmmaker and I was, you know, trying to incorporate film and photography and art with prevention.
That's what I was gonna ask. I was like, okay, so then where did the film come in? So you were already putting out films.
Yeah, so I was already trying to make films. It was really tough in 2008 because back then there was no digital. It was just little tapes, little DV, mini DV tapes. So when those cameras came out, I was like, perfect. I think I can do this on my own, at least try to do interviews, try to create content. Back then, we didn't really have that word content, I guess. But now it's a big word that we throw around. So somebody found out that I was doing that in Pomona. And they reached out and they said, would you like to meet with us at Bienvenidos, talk about the possibility of bringing you in and working with community stakeholders, working with families in East LA, working with the youth. And I said, yeah. And of course, you know, when somebody reaches out, you're like, I'm gonna ask for a lot of money, right? And so that was kind of like, I was like, okay, well, if you can pay me just a little bit more, a dollar more, $2 more, I'm all in, because I really love my job in Pomona. But the thing is that you have to, I live in Long Beach, so I had to travel from Long Beach to Pomona. And I loved it because we were out there at midnight. It wasn't a regular 9-to-5 job. You were out there at midnight looking for sex workers, looking for injection drug users, give them their little bleach bottles, doing HIV tests, condoms, whatever they needed. We had backpacks, so it was three of us out in the field. We had backpacks so full of everything that they might need. So they brought me in to Bienvenidos, and I thought, oh my God, I hope I like it. I hope I like it. And I loved it. They gave me a program, or I helped develop a program called Project SAFE, and SAFE stood for Salud, Arte, Familia, y Educación. So it's health, art, family, and education.
I love that.
And yeah, so you know, it was a federal grant, and I thought, oh my God, how much money do we have to develop this program for youth and families with art and photography? And they say you have about 500,000 a year, and I was like, you know, I was like, you'd never hear that kind of money, right?
It's funny because, yeah,
And
I'm so not in the like arts grants world. That's more new to me now. Like trying to get into longer form, that's something I'm only just starting to look into. But amounts like that, I'm like, I don't know, because it could be a lot, it could be a little. I know with donors, you know, sometimes you really have to your property or things like that. So I'm like, it sounds like a lot for me as an individual, but I'm like, I don't know what that means in grants.
That's really good. Yeah. No,
Okay,
that's really good. And that
sounds
was
like a
per
lot. Yeah.
year. Yeah, that was per year. But my only concern was that, well, is the money, all of it, going to really go to the families, to the community, or is corporate or the nonprofit, you know, higher ups, will they figure out a way how to, you know, maneuver money around? And no, they didn't. They were very committed to the community. And they say, Juan, what do you want to do as far as art, film, and the curriculum? So we looked at maybe 20 curriculums, and we landed on storytelling for empowerment, which is some of the taglines that we use sometimes in our festival. So then I wrote my little, you know, proposal. I said we could do the 8 weeks of HIV prevention with the students, with the families in the community. And then after the eight sessions, we can go into activities. And the activities we can do for 3 months, 6 months, a year, keep the families engaged, keep the kids engaged, and hopefully they develop some sort of skill, or we inspire them some way to go into the arts if possible. And you know, out of that, the film festival came out. The kids shot little videos, and we said, okay, well, how are we going to present these? And we did it the first year in 2008 with Gloria Molina, Supervisor Gloria Molina, at the park, at the, we call it the Duck Park, but I think it's a civic center. So we did it outside in collaboration with a bunch of nonprofits, with the city, with the county, with Parks and Recs. And it was beautiful. We had a designer named Miguel Torres who brought in Katrinas, so he dressed all his models as Katrinas, and they paraded all through the park leading up to the stage. We had a Day of the Dead procession. We had mole. We had a lot of food. It was just amazing because we had the budget to bring everybody together, and the kids were so inspired watching the little films. You know, they were all pixelated, but still, you know, they got to watch the films.
That's awesome.
So that was the beginning of that, and
Wait,
we did
I'm
that for
curious.
15 years. Yeah,
I
go
mean,
ahead.
that's amazing. That's like so cool to how organically that grew out of not only your interest, but also what you were pursuing in the arts. I'm curious, like when you were starting out in film, like were you ever exposed to programs like that, or you just kind of felt like, oh, storytelling is so important to me, I want to bring this. So it really does feel like out of your head. I mean, I know there's so many programs that do exist like this, but like you said, it's always hard to know until you get close up how much of it is really for the community, and it really seems like it was so organic. I'm just curious, like
Yes. I never had that growing up. Yeah, I never had the arts growing up. I did have a photography class in high school, but that was it. So when what I did is I did theater first in college, and then theater with an emphasis on directing. And so when I got out and learned HIV prevention, and they brought me to East LA before the cameras, what we were doing is doing the curriculum, but we had sort of a performances for the kids, for the families. And that was the first way that we delivered the messaging of prevention. And then when the films came out, we started doing the films. But I never had anything like that. I knew I was an artist. I wasn't good at school. I tried business classes. I would flunk. It was F, 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 D,
Clearly
F,
you were F. good at it, but not they weren't good at harness. But I like to think of it sometimes like the school wasn't good at teaching you, because I understand why sometimes classrooms have to just like use a blanket, you know, curriculum. But
yeah.
I think like you see people just like go off the beaten path and then do awesome things. And you're like, oh, well, clearly it wasn't the kids' fault. It was the school not having the resources.
Yeah, and for me, I always knew, I said, I need somebody next to me to guide me through algebra, to guide me through accounting, business law. And it was just really hard. So finally, when I was in college, I moved from San Diego here. And I switched majors, and I was like, wow, I was like, theater, man, this is it. This is home. This is my religion. This is my church. And so I started training with a guy named Jose Cruz Gonzalez, Teresa Larkin. I forgot the other lady's name. They became mentors. I still talk to them on Facebook sometimes. Now they want to learn filmmaking. Which
oh,
is
wow.
great.
That's fun theater. When it comes around. Yeah.
yeah. It was great. It was beautiful. It was a challenge for me because I was very introverted. People say I'm very extroverted. People say that I've always been very extroverted, but in my mind, I'm like, you know, just rattling, right?
With I feel nervous. The same. I think sometimes it's all relative, because it seems like creative people have a lot going on in their heads, because you're constantly, you know, doing your own pattern recognition. You're kind of like testing your reality against what people say is like the norm.
Yeah.
So there's so much going on, and you want to funnel it and really like structure it before you talk about it. But to the outside world, they're like, wow, so extroverted. And you're like, if only you knew how much I wasn't saying. So I think that I kind of relate to that, because I get that a lot. People are like, oh, you're like, I didn't know you'd be anxious. I'm like, I'm constantly like, am I saying the right thing? Is this coming out right? But yeah.
Yeah, no. You know, for me, it's gotten to the point where it's just relax, focus on something, and just smile. Just be welcoming with your body language. So it's something you learn throughout the years. You learn, because I have a lot of anxiety too. And I did not realize that until last year, no, February this year, I was traveling with my sister, and she lives in the Bay Area, and I said, you need to get, she lives in San Pablo, I think, right now.
There's a dog in here, if anyone is listening. Adorable.
His name is Bobby, rescue from East LA.
Oh, Bobby.
So I didn't realize I had anxiety until we were traveling, and we were flying out of the country. And you know, during COVID, and we were trying to keep up with the COVID testing, the rules, and we didn't take a test, so we just said, oh, I think we're okay. But then the next day they changed the rules, the day we were traveling, and we get there and they're like, okay, where's your COVID test? And I'm like, what? You know, I was like, oh my God, anxiety. And my sister was like, relax, we'll go downstairs, we'll take the test. And then we pray to the Chanel God. She really wanted a Chanel bag where we were going. And I was like, okay, she made me laugh and my anxiety dropped a little bit. Then we were in the plane and she says, Juan, you have a lot of anxiety. And I was like, what? I was like, I do not
you
have anxiety.
You hadn't realized that till she named it? Wow.
Yeah, because she says, look, we got here 5 hours before the flight has to take off. That is major stress, major anxiety. And you specifically said we need to be there 6 hours, 7 hours before, just in case anything happens.
It's like that feeling, because it's like no matter what you do, it's always possible that something can go wrong, and that's just the truth. But how can you get to
that's for me.
You've done everything you can. But yeah, wow. I totally don't know that trigger, like when you said that like moment, because it's like things can go wrong, but how do you not get activated where you can't think or be with it. Yeah.
Throughout the years, I've learned to be solution oriented, if you will. So for me, like if I'm working with somebody and I hear and or they tell me about a project or whatever, and then they said, "Oh no, we gave up." And to me, I was like, "Why did you give up? That was such a great project. Why?" And for some people, it takes one little thing and then they shut it down. They're not solvers, problem solvers, I think. And not to judge them in any way, but it's just, it takes a while to learn that
And
the
also
show
knowing
must
what you
go on.
want. Yeah, because I think I used to feel like I had to push through and finish everything. And this is early on, like I'm now, 10 years into comedy, but early on, I'm like, oh, this first sketch co that I ever make is gonna be the one, and it's like, and if I couldn't finish it, I would get anxiety. But now I realize sometimes those things are, you get as far as you can in it, and you realize by the end you've grown, and you're like, maybe this isn't the thing. And there are times when it's a choice to walk away, and there are times
No,
when.
I totally agree. There's been times where I'm like, you know what, this is not working
No, but I'm
out.
agreeing. I like totally agree with you in that. Like, it's an art that it takes some time to get. Because at first you're like, oh, not finishing is bad, and then you realize like there are some things that I've been like, oh, I've changed. Like the climate has changed or whatever. I had started developing a podcast years ago that was like, this is pre the label cancel culture, but interviewing comedians because this was like when. Here and there, we were getting some people who like on an SNL and then would like get a tweet that would get them like people would get mad. But before like any of it was like it wasn't like super racist. It was just like, oh no, like that's a little edgy. And so the podcast was us just kind of interviewing comedians and trying to like find things in their background. But right around then, a lot of really heavy stuff came out, and we were like, this isn't right. Like we're not. Our goal is not to actually like call out people who are bad, because why would we want to interview them? But also, like, it just didn't feel right. So we like literally canceled our own podcast. But
I
I mean, it never came
love
out. We recorded a few eps, and then we were like, "Thanks for your time." And I think everyone was like, "Yeah, we agree." Like, but because it
Yeah.
wasn't, it was the angle was more like, "Let's have fun." But yeah,
Yeah,
I think
and
it's
that's normal. You test the waters. That's
yeah.
normal. You test the waters and see if it's gonna fly. And if you think it's not gonna fly, then it's not gonna fly. Because you hear it and you see it and you feel
Yeah,
it.
and things do change, and I think part of that is like you said, being a part of the community and also making art, you get to influence the reality while you're commenting on it, which I think is really, really cool because like things change as you're in it, but you're also part of the change. So I mean, you've done this for so many years. Like, what obviously the festival's grown beyond like
Oh
the
yeah.
year and just children. I mean, I'm not a child, so I'm like, okay, so how
Yeah.
like over time it's
Yeah.
grown into this big community festival. And we
Yeah,
also
and the
have ended the
community.
session, but I want to plug a little bit about the actual what's this year's fest going to look like.
Yeah, so this year, every year, we promote the festival either on Facebook, Instagram, and people, for some reason, they reach out, different people from all over the world, not just East LA or LA. I guess they Google East LA or however they come across it. But people reach out. The interesting thing is Japan, Brazil, they've reached out. I guess there's a big lowrider culture out there, and they think that it's we're all lowriders and the Pachuco and this and that, and we let them know we try to incorporate the lowrider culture because it's beautiful, and we try to incorporate it, but we don't focus just on that. We focus on international films. This year we are gonna have Blood In, Blood Out, which is a East LA classic. I didn't realize how popular that film is. It was made in 1992, 93, I think. And
Is that the opening night screening or?
that's the opening night screening, September 30 at 4 p.m. We start with meet and greet the actors from the film. We have two so far coming, and we have the Day of the Dead lady, Consuelo Flores, who did the altars, who did the Day of the Dead in the film, the scenes for the film. She was a consultant. But I didn't realize how big the film was until I met Carlos Carrasco, who plays Popeye in the film. I met him a few years back, and he's the one that has a Panamanian Film Festival. He's the one I referred you to. So his festival is coming up November 11, I think, at
Gosh,
Avenida Studios.
I mean, I'm visiting my boyfriend's family in Panama City. We're just meeting there. They're not from there, but it's kind of like
Oh, okay.
easiest way because They're in El Salvador, but I don't remember before. So I was like, but when you, when you sent the Panamanian, I was like, oh, like without knowing there was a connection, I was like, interesting. Like, okay, like my film's not about that, but I love when
Yeah,
it's
no.
the connection and if someone resonates
Yeah.
with the story, you know.
Yeah, so we've been working together. Last year we did our festivals together because we didn't have any money. And I became to love him and his wife. We become really good friends. So we partner every year in one way or another. This year they helped me get into another podcast with George Perez, who's also a comedian. I don't know if you know him.
Not
Yeah,
personally.
I, we had a
That's awesome.
yeah, no, we had a really good time. So we help each other out in any way we can. So people reach out when they hear about the festival and they say, Juan, what do you need? How can we help you? Because they know the focus is families and social issues that everybody goes through. Not necessarily all the films deal with that, but we do try to sprinkle throughout
I think that's
the
what's cool
blocks.
about it though, because I found out about it through Film Freeway, but I was trying to I we wanted to find something in LA that wasn't just like, I mean, there's so many like these big LA Hollywood festivals, and
Yeah.
no shade to them, but I think a big part of making shorts, especially as an independent filmmaker, is like I want to actually like meet with the community, because that's so much of what comedy is, and you don't get that as much with movies, if you're starting out. So I really, that's what
Yeah.
drew me to the festival, and I think I wrote that in my cover letter. I was like, oh, I like just really love that this is like, you can tell it's for the community, it's from the community, people show up like and actually support it. You said there's a or in there's a mental health day on Saturday, right? So is that a part
Yes,
of the
so
festival?
yeah. I have a friend who used to work at Bienvenidos with me, and she left, and my grant ended, so I left. And she reached out in May, and she said, Juan, can you come and do a workshop for us, for the county, for DMH, for mental health? And I said, okay. I said, what do you want to do? Films? You want to do? I have these characters called the Papi Chulos. They're kind of back here,
Yeah, I
and
remember. I was like, oh, those look so cute.
yeah. So for me, I try to do something through animals. You know, how to, I don't know, how to release your stress, have a mental health day with your dog, relax, chill. I have a little short that hopefully will play at the festival. But so she said, yeah, bring the puppy chulos. So I have the puppy chulos in cardboards, big and little. And so I went to the workshop, and then I met the organizers. And they said, well, we're doing another event in September, October. You want to help out? And I was like, yeah, I'm all in. So I said, they wanted to do it in Pasadena. And I said, why don't we go to East LA College, take a look around, see if you like it, see if it's within your target area that you need to focus on. And I'll explain to you what we'll do with the festival. And they loved it. They're like, oh my God, this is so great. We can have films inside, activities outside. So they love the idea, and that's how we partnered. And hopefully it'll go smoothly. We'll see. But I think it
If people
will.
want to come to the festival, like, so because there's like sort of it's all one day, but you there's like screenings for films as well as during that same time, like in between, you can go. There's like check out mental health resources, right? There's like
Yeah.
activities, and it's family
Yeah.
friendly, and
Yeah, and there'll be food, first come, first serve, but there'll be food, water, and then also the museum is going to open their doors. So if you watch a film and have some food, activities, and then go catch an exhibit, that's also, there's an exhibit there by Fong Hyun, who's my friend. She asked me to help her with a documentary. So right now she has Sobrevivir, which means survival. And the film and the exhibit speaks to the over 240 women that were coercively sterilized at the general hospital. So
That's
the
lame. I
film,
saw that on the lineup on
yeah. So the film is an apology, or the sculpture that they build is an apology to all the women. It's a powerful exhibit. The film, I think, is pretty good for being a documentary. I'm not a documentarian. No. Not.
No, it's just
You know,
funny
it's
when you
like,
said that, because it's like when people are like, oh, you're pretty funny for a girl. But I know what you mean. It's like we all have
yeah.
preferences, and clearly it's like you obviously programmed it,
And you
but
know, when I saw the
it's
film, I
good.
was like, what? I was like, this is really good. And I'm not a documentarian. But anyways, so yeah, so catch it if you can, it's worth seeing.
Okay, well, Juan, thank you for sharing. I'm very excited for this festival, and obviously for my listeners, Get Loved, which I've talked about, is playing there. But Get Loved is very like comedic. It's lighthearted. I'm happy to be part of it, but I think definitely go check out the films there. And it's
You
on
know
the.
what got me was your poster with the yogurt.
Oh, thank you. It's so fun. I mean, Vanessa's amazing. She's a comic, and I think for me, like knowing so many comedians from doing stand up around them, like I can tell, like, because usually she's doing stand up and it's like very funny, and I was like, I want her to play this like very, it is a
Yeah.
funny film, but I'm like, I want you to play this like very real, like kind of sad character because it's just from this true place. And some of my favorite like times working with comedians is when you pull that out of them. And I'm not saying I pulled it out because I saw it already, but I'm just so proud of, like, I'm just really excited for
It's
people to see her performance because she's so good in it.
yeah. No,
I
I think
think
it's
she's gonna be
amazing when
huge. She's
you're
already like opening for Chelsea Handler and doing wonderful
Oh
things.
my God. I love
But I'm
Chelsea
like, you need to
Handler.
be in a movie. Like, you're like, ah.
Yeah, you guys should do a feature. I love it when comedians are very dramatic too. I love that. And usually that's usually the thing. If you're very funny, you're very dramatic.
Yeah, because you understand what makes it funny, but then when you get to be in the world and you're not like embarrassed almost, because you know, like she, yeah, one of the things she came up was like her name was the Gray, but then she was like, I was like, oh, you can say it's Grace or short. And she wrote it on purpose, like big, like it got messed up. And that made it in the film, but where she kind of is like, it's
Yeah.
Gray. And my
I love
favorite
it. I love it. Comedians have such great timing, man. It's amazing.
Yeah,
You're
the
just saying the word, it's the gray, you know,
yeah,
she could be
she's so good. Well, we're gonna turn it around on you, Juan. Is there anything you would like to tell me?
there. Yeah, I had some stuff in my mind. Now I think I talked about being
I know, only because
nervous.
we can keep talking about the fest, but in your email you were like, I've got a confession. So I was like, well, I have to ask.
Oh yeah, confessions. Yes. So, anxiety was one of them. I didn't realize that. So if anybody out there is having anxiety, and don't be ashamed. We all
What do
have
you
some sort of
do to,
anxiety.
because and it is pretty recent, what have you done? It seems like you've like already done a lot of work to work on it. What's something that you would like
Yeah.
that's worked for you, I guess?
So this morning around 5 o'clock, I woke up and I was like, oh, I still need to do this, and I was like, relaxed. So I turned on CNN and I just focused on CNN, and then I turned it off and just to clear my mind, and then I turned it off and I closed my eyes. My mom used to tell me, because I used to like I would like to stay up late watching Policewoman, watching all those old shows. And she would say, turn off that TV. I'm like, Mom, I'm not tired. Go to your room, close your eyes in the dark, and you'll fall asleep. So I do that. That stay with me. I do that. I just go to my room or everything dark, close my eyes, and it works. It works. That stay with me.
I've gotten better now because I meditate and I've obviously like I've gotten all the treatment for my like ADHD and things, but that did not work for me as a kid because my mom would be like, don't look at screen,
Yeah.
just lay down. And be like 30, 45 minutes later, I'm still like, this is the dark. I'm still breathing. Now I'm thinking about my breath. Like,
It's just sometimes that works. Sometimes just walking with my dogs. I love dogs. I love animals.
dogs,
So
they're very
sometimes I bought.
intuitive. You can feel their, and they know
Yeah.
when you're anxious, and they'll come and calm you. Like, if I'm having a panic attack, my dog will. Sometimes he'll come and sit with me, but more often than not, he knows what I need is to like leave the house. So he'll like
Yeah.
incessantly bark until I take him out, and he doesn't really need to go. And I'm like, oh, like that's like
No.
love. Yeah, because he's not like one of those that are like, oh, let me put my head on your shoulder. Like, oh, he's like, take me out now, take
Yeah.
me out.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. My
Yeah.
dog Bobby, if I'm on the couch and he senses something, he'll put his feet on my leg,
Oh,
or
that's
just put his
adorable.
paws, like he'll go like, and I'm like, what is he doing? I'm like, oh
Oh,
yeah.
that's cute.
So Bobby does that a lot. Yeah, he's very intuitive.
Do you
So the
meditate?
other the
Oh, sorry.
tab.
Oh, I was gonna say,
Go
do you
ahead.
meditate? Because you were talking about like the breathing and slowing down, and kind of reminded me of I kind
Yeah,
of
I don't
meditated during
meditate.
pandemic, so.
Yeah, I don't meditate that way. My meditation, I picked up ceramics,
Oh,
and my
cool.
meditation, yeah, it's so
Like
great,
ghosts,
man.
like.
Yeah. Like Patrick Swayze, right?
Yeah.
So, getting your, I don't, it's just great. It's a great feeling. So I sit in the yard and I just poke at the mud, a clay, and I make little sculptures and I, it distracts me. So, the arts again. So
Yeah.
ceramics, yeah, ceramics, man. Pick
And
up ceramics
it's
if you
something where you
can.
can put your energy into it, because sometimes I'll just dance around at home and like not like well, like not to be practicing or anything. You know what I mean? Because there's a difference. I'm not like, let me dance to be good. It's just like you are just kind of putting energy into something and letting the flow of like kind of like resynchronize, I guess, with like the flow of the universe a little bit. And I think that's really cool.
And I love long walks. I walk a
Yeah.
lot. Yeah. My other confession I was going to tell you is McDonald's. McDonald's
Oh,
French fries.
I
I love McDonald's.
had
And again,
it for
I didn't realize that I was a secret eater at McDonald's until somebody pointed it out.
breakfast.
Because I go to
Well, like your
McDonald's,
bank's
like,
like, hey, why do you have so many McDonald's charges on your
no. Why are there so many McDonald's boxes in the trash can?
Oh my
That kind
gosh.
of thing. Yeah.
Okay,
So I
this
was
is a
like, I was
funny
like,
one, because it's like I know that feeling, but I want to dig into it, because the idea of like we all have preferences, like whatever, it's not that weird to like McDonald's, but the fact that you were sort of like not even aware of it until it's like, oh, like then you look and you're like, I do like McDonald's. That's so funny.
And
Is
then
that
family members
comforting to
start.
you, or like do you always go
It's,
when you're
yeah. It's, I, you know, they say French fries have a lot of chemicals and plastic. And I was like, oh my God, I love it. I love it, but hopefully it's not true. Yeah. Somebody pointed it out because, a family member, they're like, Juan has little secrets. And I was like, what?
Whoa.
What do you mean? What are you talking about? Yeah. And then my daughter pointed it out. She goes, you go to McDonald's at least once a week. And I was like, I do? And she's like, yeah, I see the trash, the bags, and I see the coffee cups. And it's so true. I was like, oh my God, it is
Literally,
true.
I'm holding
It's
the McDonald's cup right now.
yeah, and I don't know what it is. Yeah, I just my little, but unconsciously, just if I go to San Diego, I there's a spot that I pull over and get my French fries, my quarter pounder, or my cheeseburger, or my Big Mac. But it happens every time, and I
Like
didn't
the
realize it
routine of
until.
it. So also because based on what you're saying with like your daughter noticing it, it's like something you go more mostly alone. It's not like you're like, it's McDonald's day. Like it's not like you're ashamed either. It just happens to be a part of this ritual that you do, which I think is really fascinating, because we all have these things that by ourselves just to soothe us, and then you know.
Well, I think her thing was because I was diagnosed with diabetes in 2010, type 2. And I think their thing is like, you need to be careful. And I'm like, you know what? I know. Don't tell me what I need to do. Focus on you. I know I
Oh,
shouldn't be eating a
I mean, she cares
McDonald's.
about you, but that's
No, she does, but I tell her, you don't like it when I tell you what you need to do. And she's like, no. It's like, okay, I my numbers are good. I know when to cheat, when not to cheat. So,
Right. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I have that with boba too. Like I used
Oh my God, black bean boba.
Yeah, I used to go in East LA. Sometimes I'll drive all the way out, like, cause I'm in Glendale now, but I was working in Baldwin Park for a bit. And I was like, I can actually have boba on lunch breaks. It was amazing. But
There's
yeah,
one
for a
right
while.
across from the parking lot.
Oh yeah.
If you come, yeah, there's one right across from the parking lot. It's amazing.
Oh, I will be there. Yeah, like so one thing I started doing, because I used to kind of indulge when I was feeling bad, because you know, sometimes it's easy to be like, oh, I'm having a bad day, like just get boba or whatever. But then it was always tied to sort of like indulgence, and like then you know, often I'm like crying, but also like, no, I need this. So then I started
It's
sort of,
comfort food,
yeah. But then I realized you can just kind of on any day, like, oh, I have some time, start just going when you want to, and you can mix it up. It doesn't have to be like I can't have it when I'm sad. But now I feel like it's separate of that now, and it's kind of helped me regulate my emotions more instead of feeling like that, like,
And that's totally okay. You want to eat a big piece of cake, go for it,
yeah. And it's fun to do that even when you're having a good day. Like sometimes it's like, you know what? I will have a cheat day even though I don't need it, because now I know that I can also like on a day I want to cheat not, you know. So that's a fun way to sort of
I give myself permission for everything that's legal and not hurting anybody. If I have the urge just to have something, even a glass of wine on a Friday night, I'm like, ooh, with a nice crystal, that makes a big difference for
Yeah,
me.
the ambiance. I love that. It really is like now, as because I think as a child, there's many reasons to learn rules and but once you're an adult, you are your own parent basically, and you can give yourself those like treats. Like as a kid, your parents would be maybe like be like, my mom would call it jiangping in Chinese, which is like I guess treat, like prize. It's like, oh, you get a prize today, you know? But now I'm like, I can give myself the prize, and
What's
it's
it
not
called, jumping?
jiangping. Yeah, could be like if
How do you
you're really
spell that?
good. It's like I guess the phonetically be like jiang, that's the first word, and then ping, ping,
Okay.
and
I love
kind of like it means
that.
like
I love
prize.
that.
Yeah, but it's
I love
like
that.
that idea, like I have to be good to get a prize. But now I'm like, well, I'm trying to always be good, right? It's not like I'm gonna be bad, but if I wake up and today I want to eat ice cream before noon, I will, and it's fine. I
Go
won't do
for
it every
it.
day, but
No. I have a lot of those jing ping moments. A lot. If I want a taco, I will walk for a taco, drive to a taco. In and out. Oh my God. Sometimes the dogs and I, we go to In and Out and we just have a good time.
I wonder if in some sense it's like we're talking about rituals and calming ourselves, like it's almost the feeling of it's some sort of control, but it's not just like I needy, like not like I need control in a bad way. It's like if I start this journey, like I want that thing, and I'm gonna start the ritual of getting my car going and get, and then I can have it. And it's like a really nice moment of simple way to take back the power in life where you're like, yeah, I want a thing, I'm gonna meet my own needs, and then I'll deal with the stuff that I'm not sure about, you know?
I learned this from my father to treat yourself to whatever you want. When we were kids, Pollo Loco was in the scene, Pollo Loco, 80s, 90, early 80s. And I would say, Dad, we want Pollo Loco. So we drive to Pollo Loco. And then we would say, we want Tito's Tacos here in Culver City. So we live in San Diego, and my dad would be like, okay, you want Tito's Tacos? That's your treat. Let's go. And he would take us and have Tito's Tacos and then drive back.
Oh, that's so
So,
nice.
because that's part of life. You have to, what I tell people is you got to respect kids. You got to give them what they want within reason. If they're having a tantrum, let them have their moment. They
Yeah,
want a
then you just
tantrum.
feel it, right? It's like
Let
you
them
just
burst
feel it.
out, So I learned that from my dad, that you
Oh
need to
wow, that's
respect
awesome.
kids. You
I
need to
think that's really
respect
cool.
kids.
I've never thought about it that way, but the idea of like, because we're all so used to like learning to discipline kids, and I kind of grew up in a like a discipline first household, which now obviously there's a lot more studies about it, but I know, like looking back, I'm like, none of that, no punishment ever worked for me. I wanted just to be good because I wanted my parents' love and affection, but it was never out of fear. Like I never didn't do something out of fear. It was always because I wanted, like if I messed up, it was an accident, or I made a bad choice, but it never was like, oh, if I only had a stricter punishment, I would be good. So that idea of like sometimes getting what you want because you just asked, like you should be rewarded for just expressing your needs, like that's really important.
And now, we were asked for things. We would say, Dad, we want this, we want that. Okay, mijo, mijo, mija. And he would figure it out and set it up for us. And with him doing that, it was sort of like reverse psychology in a way. Now that I look back, and it was to say, I'm respecting you. You respect me. And so that's stay with me.
I love that. I mean, it kind of it is very sweet that you take yourself to McDonald's, because in some ways it's like this echo of like you're taking yourself to get something you want, and it's so simple, but it doesn't have to be like, oh, I want the world. It's just I would like a little thing today, and I can give it to myself.
And my dad was the same way. I didn't realize that too until later on. I was like, oh my God, I think my until it got pointed out to me, and then I realized, oh my God, my dad was the same way. These little habits, that we pick
Do
up
you
from our
think
parents.
like the rest of your family has little secrets? They all have like your fine little Chipotle bags.
Oh
Ah!
no yeah Sometimes I call my sister in San Pablo and, hey, where are you? And I could tell she's lying. She's probably like, Yeah, so it, I think we all have that.
Yeah.
We all
I think it's
do.
healthy. It's like it's like when I discover, I mean, we're talking about animals, so bring it back, but my dog will do this thing when he loves treats, but sometimes he likes to hide them. And I think it's maybe an instinct thing. But then I'll like look under the couch one day, and I'm like, why are there, like, he doesn't go back to eat them, they're just there. I'm like, why did you hide these treats you like here, like for a rainy
Yeah.
day? Like, what is this? It's like, I kind of
Yeah.
remembered that. It's like, I don't know, but it made him feel good, so
Yeah.
whatever. Like, I gave it to
Yeah,
him,
you
it's
know.
his treat, he's allowed to have it, he can hide it or not.
Yeah. You know what I do for my dogs? I cook them a chicken once a week. So organic chicken. So throughout the week they get their treat. Yeah, it's funny, yeah. I have an elderly dog. Huh?
Lucky dog.
Yeah, every week, they get the one chicken. There used to be a Costco chicken, but then the doctor was like, the vet, don't give them a lot of spices. So now I just get the
Oh yeah,
organic,
good
boil
point.
it, and mix it with dog food sometimes. Yeah, I spoil them. They're all rescues, so they really deserve to be spoiled.
Yeah, my dog's arrested too. He's gotten really picky, but it's because during the pandemic it was really just us, and he used to be like, no, not on the couch, but then I was like, it's just me and you, so he's like,
On
I
the
live
couch, man, on the
everywhere.
couch. Yeah, on the couch. Wherever you want to go, dude, just make sure you pee outside.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank
Yeah.
you so much for sharing this. I'm so excited to meet you in person. Everyone should go check out the film festival. It's telesofa.org for tickets, right? And then
Correct.
if they want to just come to one, is it all one? You can get like a festival pass, or you can they can just come to
You know,
one.
it's all free. It's a free event, free films. So just log on to Telesofa, get your tickets for whatever block you want to get.
But
If
you
you
do take
think
donations, which is
we
very
take
helpful if you guys
donations.
can, yeah. Because I
Yeah,
think
we
giving
take
back to the community.
donations. Yeah, and I want to give props to Studio Narrator. They're here in Lincoln Heights. They made a donation. Also USC, the government department, they made a
Okay.
donation. Yeah, USC came through. Thank you so much. And also the Vincent Price Museum, they've been great. We're using Because of them, we're using the dance theater, and also the Department of Mental Health. Without them, we wouldn't have been able to pay for awards, performances, activities, the food, water. Am I leaving anybody out? The Los Angeles Times and Espanol. Yeah, they've also been very, very great. They do a little article the week before every year.
Oh,
And
that's
them I
awesome.
met through Carlos Carrasco, the Panamanian Film Festival.
Yeah, and opening night, come
Looking
see Blood In, Blood Out.
Blood In, Blood Out, meet and greet. You do have to get your tickets on that because it's gonna, from what I hear, it's gonna be packed, but
Well, that'll
I
be
don't know.
fun
But just
though.
make sure. Yeah, that film has such a cult following. It's crazy.
That's
It's
cool when you
crazy.
get to see something that like years later, like, 'cause you really get to see the life of the art piece itself grow, and then everyone coming together.
It's amazing.
If okay,
Yeah.
so just to wrap it up, if there were, I know every if you just everyone's to see everything in it, but let's say, if someone's like, okay, like what are like maybe I don't know, throw out like maybe like three or whatever. Don't include
Okay.
mine, but anything that you're like, oh, this was really cool or whatever, just so people have
Yeah.
some names to look out for.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
So
I'm here.
closing block, it starts at 8 and we have Las Rosies.
Last
And
Rosie.
it's a Mexican Rosie the Riveters that I never heard about.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so there in World War II, there was a lot of Latina women that were working with the efforts for World War II. And Sandra O'Neill is the director. And she goes into like what was life like, and it's crazy that one of the things that I took away was they couldn't talk to each other, I guess because of espionage or whatever. I hope not racism, but it was just yeah. So it was I cried in that movie, man. It was a documentary, and I was like, oh my
I
God,
think you might like
yeah.
documentaries, Juan.
And I don't like documentaries, but look, yeah,
Gonna
and then
find a
the.
trash can full of documentaries behind your. I'm like, dude, are you secretly watching documentaries?
That's probably my other secret. Somebody will point it out. You just pointed it out. Yeah.
Thanks.
The Rosies, and then there's another film called Unidad, Gay and Lesbian Latinos United. And
Okay.
that I watched that film, and I was like, oh my God, a documentary again. I was like,
Yeah, we
This is
Stanford
so
Fun
great.
Fest.
Yeah, it's both very historical films. They go into the Latino gay history here in LA, and then the Rosie the Riveters go into the history of the Latina women during World War II and their war efforts. Yeah.
That's
So
awesome.
those two, and then of course yours, you gotta
I
come see yours.
said don't recommend, but no. I mean, I'll plug
I
my
know, I
events
know.
and do my part in promoting the fest. But I'm so excited that you were able to make time for this podcast, and I'll see you next week. Thank you guys so much, and thank you, Juan. And oh,
Thank
can people
you.
follow
Thank you so
you
much.
if they want to watch your films? I know you also. We didn't get to get too into it. If they
Yeah.
want to watch your work, where would they go find that?
I have three on YouTube. If you Google my name, Juan Escobedo, and Google Lydia Chlamydia, Gary Gonorrhea, Papi Papilloma, they're all around
Oh,
STDs.
okay.
They're funny. They're funny. Watch them. Watch them. I'm curious to see as a comedian what you think, because
Okay, I will. That's my
that
homework.
was my. Yeah, that was my comedian, adventure.
Love it.
So I wrote them, and I was like, these are not gonna be funny, but the actors delivered. Yeah. So watch those.
Okay, thank you so much, Juan.
Thank you. So great to see you via Zoom, and I can't wait to meet you.
Thank you for listening to You Can Tell Me Anything. You Can Tell Me Anything is a comedic podcast created and produced by Teresa Lee on the Hoo Ha Ha Podcast Network. The Hoo Ha Ha team is Ashley McAtee, Audrey Povar, Maggie Wheat Austin, Cardi Assad, and Stephanie Binot. The theme song for this podcast was created by Cody Johnston. The outro music was written by Shipwrecked Sailor. And the Hoo Ha Ha app can be found in the Apple Store to stream your favorite comedy series and laugh out loud podcasts by the funniest woman in comedy. To contact this podcast specifically, you can email tellmeanythingpod@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram @tellmeanythingpod. Thank you.